Thanks, everybody, for coming today. I'm so excited and happy to be here. I'm Dave Isay, the founder of StoryCorps, and we're thrilled to be here at the White House today to celebrate the launch of StoryCorps' newest national initiative, the National Teachers Initiative. Thanks to the White House for hosting this event, to the Department of Education for coordinating it, and special thanks to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the lead funder of StoryCorps as a whole and of this project in particular. Thanks to the Gates Foundation, who is co-funder, and to the Joyce Foundation as well. Who here does not know what StoryCorps is? And I know somebody doesn't know. Come on, everybody knows? All right, oh yeah, right. The StoryCorps staff. let me just give a quick summary of StoryCorps. We started about 8 years ago in Grand Central Terminal. Very simple idea. We put a booth where you can bring anyone who you want to honor by listening to their story. When you come to this booth, you're met by a facilitator, and you bring, say, your mom or your grandmother into the booth, close the door, facilitator sitting in the corner, and for 40 minutes you listen and talk. Most people think of it as, if I had 40 minutes left to live, what would I say to this person who I care so much about? Lots of tears in the booth. At the end of 40 minutes, two CDs have been burned. One goes home with you. The other stays with us and goes to the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress, so your great-great-great-great-grandkids can someday get to know your grandmother through her voice and story. And I want to say we're thrilled today to have Dr. Jim Billington, who is the Librarian of Congress, over here. Thank you for coming today. It started as this kind of crazy idea in 2003, and we've grown a lot since then. We've recorded 40,000 interviews with about 80,000 people, because most people come in pairs, in hundreds of cities across the country, all 50 states. And we've launched a series of special initiatives along the way. And before we launch the National Teachers Initiative, I'm going to take you back to another initiative that we launched a few years ago with the support of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And it's called the GRIO Initiative, which was an initiative and continues to be an initiative celebrating African-American stories across the country. It now stands as the largest collection of African-American voices ever gathered, surpassing the slave narratives that were recorded and put in the Library of Congress and Peggy Bulger, who runs the American Folklife Center, and her division a few years ago. So I'm going to take you back to the launch of StoryCorps GRIO. We launched it at the Martin Luther King Center in Atlanta, and one of the great pleasures of running StoryCorps is getting to meet with people who've recorded stories. So at the end of our first month in Atlanta, I went down to meet with hundreds of families who'd recorded their stories. One of them was a man named Lynn Weaver, who had recorded a story with his daughter. And he came to StoryCorps with Kimberly, his daughter, to remember his father. His father's name was Ted Weaver, and Ted Weaver was a chauffeur in Knoxville, Tennessee, and he wanted to talk about his dad. So this is Lynn Weaver talking about his dad.
My father was everything to me, and it's actually kind of difficult talking about him without becoming very emotional. Up until, you know, he died, every decision I made, I'd always call him. And he would never tell me what to do, but he would always listen and say, well, what do you want to do? And he made me feel that I could do anything that I wanted to do. I can remember when we integrated the schools that there were many times when I was just scared, and I didn't think that I would survive. And I'd look up and he'd be there. And whenever I saw him, I knew that I was safe. You know, I always tell you that your mama is the smartest person I've ever met. But I think my father ranks right up there as brilliant. When I was in high school, I was taking algebra, and I was sitting at the kitchen table trying to do my homework. And I got frustrated and said, I just can't figure this out. So my father said, what's the problem? He came by. He said, what's the problem? And I said, that's just algebra. And he said, well, let me look at it. I said, that they didn't even have algebra in your day. And I went to sleep. And around 4 o'clock that morning, he woke me up. He said, come on, son, get up. He set me at the kitchen table, and he taught me algebra. What he had done is sit up all night and read the algebra book. And then he explained the problems to me so I could do them and understand them. And to this day, I live my life trying to be half the man my father was, just half the man. And I would be a success if my children loved me half as much as I loved my father.
So that was Lynn Weaver remembering his dad at StoryCorps. I got an email from Lynn the next day who said, Mr. Isay, you'll never know how honored and touched I was by the playing of the remembrance of my dad. After I got home, I realized that the evening of the StoryCorps griot reception was the anniversary of my father's death. Even in death, he continues to embrace me with his love. Signed, Lynn Weaver, Chairman of Surgery, Morehouse School of Medicine in Atlanta, Georgia. So in many ways, Lynn's story and his dad, Ted's story, personifies so much of what StoryCorps stands for. To me, these are the real American stories. Someone like Ted Weaver, the chauffeur in Knoxville, Tennessee, is the kind of person we should be building statues to and holding up to our kids as examples of who they can and should grow up to be. And it's these stories of generosity and courage and kindness that I think are the real American story. You don't hear them so frequently on 24-hour news, but I think we all know that that's what this country stands for and that's what this country is all about. So today we're here to launch another initiative honoring another kind of American hero, many of whom themselves represent the best of who we are as Americans. The National Teachers Initiative is StoryCorps' first ever occupational-focused initiative. Over the next year, we'll be recording hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of interviews about public school teachers across the country with an emphasis on teachers working in some of the toughest schools in the country, in cities and rural areas and from coast to coast. Excerpts from some of these stories will be broadcast on Weekend Edition Sunday with Audie Cornish starting this coming weekend. And is Steve Robinson here? Hey. I'm happy to invite Steve Robinson up from the White House Domestic Policy Council. He's a former high school science teacher and now advises the president on education issues primarily relating to science, technology, engineering, and math. So glad to have you here today. Hi, Steve. Nice to meet you.
Good afternoon. We're really pleased to have StoryCorps here at the White House today with their National Teacher Initiative and to launch this, so welcome to all of you. I was asked to start off with a story, and I'm a bit nervous about starting off with a story in front of StoryCorps, but here goes. I'm a teacher, or at least I was, and I hope to be again. My name's Steve Robinson, and I now work at the White House. I'd like to tell you about one of my teachers, Mr. Benton. Until about 6 years ago, I was a high school science teacher in Oregon. In 2005, for a number of reasons, I applied for a fellowship, which brings math and science teachers from across America to work in government for a year. I was very fortunate, it was 2005, and I was offered the opportunity to serve in the office of the then junior senator from my home state of Illinois. The first day I met then Senator Obama, he pulled me into his office and we talked about teaching for about a half hour. So I understand how he greatly admires good teachers and how he appreciates the challenges they face. After my fellowship, they asked me to stay on in the office and I was his legislative aide on education issues. And as you know, I didn't do such a horrible job and he became president. I went to the Department of Education where I got to work for Secretary Duncan, a terrific honor, and now I'm assigned to work here at the White House in the Executive Office of the President, where I have the great good fortune to serve on the Domestic Policy Council where I work on education issues for Melody Barnes. I went to good public schools in the suburbs of Kansas City and then Chicago. And I remember lots of teachers. In fifth grade, I remember Miss Green, who taught me about sentences and how to diagram them. I remember in eighth grade, Miss Hayward teaching me about civics, something which I thought I'd never actually need to know, but apparently I do. In high school, I took 4 years of science, but the person I really remember was my high school science teacher, biology teacher, Mr. Benton, Jim Benton. Mr. Benton taught me about the beauty and complexity of the natural world. He got me to understand that there are intricate mechanisms that underlay that beauty. He taught me that science could help me make order of that complexity, and that if I was clever, and that if I asked the right questions, science could help me unravel the underlying mechanisms. He also taught me lots of what were then considered facts, which 40 years later aren't. He would offer answer questions by saying, just think about it, which for a high school student is both empowering and very frustrating. But most important, he helped me learn how to learn. He helped me understand that learning is not confined to the classroom. And through his sense of humor, I came to understand the difference between the skepticism that helped me become a good scientist and the cynicism that makes you an unwelcome guest at dinner parties. After I graduated from high school, I thought I would end up as a teacher like Mr. Benton, but I was seduced by science. People told me I was pretty good at it, that I should stick with it, that I should find something challenging and more important to do than teaching. I fell for it. I earned my PhD, I ran a lab, I published papers, I did all of that. But I realized that was not what I want. I wanted to be Mr. Benton. I wanted to share science with kids. So by choice and through a relatively arduous process, I ended up teaching high school in Oregon. And I know that there is nothing more challenging and more important than teaching. And I have a slide because this summer I went back, my high school had not a reunion, but a birthday party because we're all very aged. I was very reluctant to go back until I found out that Mr. Benton was going to be there. So this is a picture of me and Mr. Benton. He's retired now, but he's still active. He's the head of the local Retired Teachers Association. He's still an active and avid photographer. And it was so wonderful because I got to tell him about the great influence he had in my life. I got to tell him how appreciative I am of what he taught me. I told him how I wanted to be as good a teacher as he was and how I was never certain that I had met his high bar. But then I got to tell him about the path that I've taken and that I now work at the White House. He looked at me as I talked, and then he said, "There are some students you wonder about after they leave the classroom." And this was my memory of his comments, that they could be interpreted in either of two ways. He either thought I had promise and was curious about what had happened to me, or he worried that I would never amount to much. So after I got back, I received a note from Mr. Benton. He wrote to me. He told me he was proud of me. He wrote, "I wanted to thank you for your kind words." Needless to add, those comments are few and far between as I age. And so again, here publicly today, I want to thank you, Mr. Benton, and thanks to the StoryCorps today, who will be bringing many more teachers the thanks that they so richly deserve. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. And what Steve was talking about taking the time to stop, and whether it's a teacher or someone who matters to you in your life, is so much of what StoryCorps is about. Turning off your computer, turning off your BlackBerry, and sitting with someone who matters to you and telling them how much they mean to you, face to face, looking them in the eyes. It's something that that is extremely powerful, as we know now, through StoryCorps and through everyone's lives. I'm going to play you a science teacher story now. This has never before been heard. You will be the first to hear it. It's going to kick off our National Teachers Initiative broadcast this Sunday on NPR. This is about a science teacher at Medford Memorial Middle School in Medford, New Jersey, named Al Seidlecki, and a former student of his named Lee Buono. Lee is a neurosurgeon today, and he came to StoryCorps with Mr. Seidlecki, who he calls Mr. Sai, to tell a story about a patient who reconnected him with his favorite teacher.
This patient comes in and he's got a benign tumor. It's pushing on his speech area. He can get some words out, but it's almost unintelligible. It's almost like someone's sewing your mouth closed. So I'm talking to his wife and we tried to lighten up the situation. And they started asking me about myself. And they asked me who inspired me. So, of course, I mentioned you. We have the surgery. He gets a speech back, and he's just excited and happy and crying and wanted to just hug me. And he said, "You make sure you call that teacher. You make sure you thank him." So I called you.
I picked the phone up, and you go, "Hey, it's Lee Buono." I said, "Lee, what's going on, man? I haven't heard from you since you were in high school." And you said, "I want to thank you." I was flabbergasted. I said, "Of all the people in your entire career, you want to thank me?" It was the same feeling I had when my kids were born. And I started to cry. Made me feel really important that I had that influence on you. Lately, I almost am afraid to say that I'm a teacher to some people. But I'm not. Because you called me. I'm a teacher, and I'm going to help as many people as I can to find their passion, too.
We have a special surprise today. I'm happy to invite Lee Bono and Al Sadlecki up to speak for a minute.
Well, if you think about it, you know, my job's a great job. I love my job and has respect. People respect me for my job. I love what I do. It's challenging every day. I make great money. And to be a neurosurgeon, you know, if you're 13 years old, 12 years old, I'm in his class, you think to yourself, I can't do that. You know, that's crazy. You know, but he says, no, that's what you should do. You can do that. So it's because of my life, my beautiful, soon-to-be wife and fiance. It's everything that I have is because of you.
Wow. He's the best. He is the best.
Wow, the human voice, you're right, is a powerful and reinforcing type of media. I never knew for sure exactly what moment it takes when you hit a specific nerve, no pun intended, he's a neurosurgeon. But I remember the day clearly that Dr. Bono stayed after school to try to remove the brain and spinal cord of a frog. And I always liken the frog to human body in comparative anatomy. And there was something that I saw in his hands that a former teacher told me, believe it or not, about myself. So I, in a way, passed it on to you in that moment. It was a magic moment where Dr. Bono, Lee Bono, clapped. He applauded with his eyes. I tried to tell you. We were out last night, and there's a moment that a teacher will hit, and I can't explain it, I can't measure it, it's not a measurable thing, but it for sure happens. It's a magic moment where you reach the passion in your student's personal place, his mind, her mind, where you now stimulate this passion that they will grab, grasp, and enhance and pass this enthusiasm on forever. The people that he will help is amazing, and it was a gift for me to be able to pass on to you. I really don't know what else to say. It's just, I never expected. You told me I was going to have to say something, but I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that I would be in the White House in such an honorable position to influence so many people. And if you're a teacher, and I'm sure there are many teachers here, your job will never be done. As long as there are students that will come to you, as we've witnessed in video and audio. And I can't wait for StoryCorps to kick this off, because teachers need a boost in this country right now. And I'm gonna tell you, we're gonna kick this off. That's one reason why I wanted to come here today, because my message is clear. Teachers are going to go out there and they're going to regain the traditional approach to education that they once had. And the respect is going to resurface, and it's going to be a hundredfold. And the stories that are going to come forth from StoryCorps are going to be the initiative that's actually going to broaden this whole base, so that teachers are, again, irregardless of the economy, they're going to be the heroes that they can be. And that's pretty much all I got to say.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for what you do.
I can't believe it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. I've done a lot of speeches, and that's my first group hug. That's wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Tsai. Thank you, Lee. If not for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, there not only wouldn't be a National Teachers Initiative, there would be no StoryCorps. I'm so pleased to introduce StoryCorps' great champion and friend, the CEO and president of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, Pat Harrison, who's going to come up in a moment. First, CPB Board Chair Bruce Raymer, a great friend to public broadcasting over the past two decades with a long and distinguished record of public service to this nation. Bruce?
Oh, how I wish that my first grade teacher, Mrs. Runner, ninth grade teacher, Mrs. Von Weeding, and Coach Delator from high school were here to participate in this initiative. They were obviously meaningful in my life, and I, lo these years later, still appreciate them, remember them, and think about them. Dave, thank you for having us here, and thank all of you for attending this. We're honored that CPB, honored and privileged to be here to celebrate the announcement of StoryCorps' National Teacher Initiative. I believe, and I dare say all of us in this room believe, that StoryCorps' project of oral history presentation is crucial to our own self-understanding and to our nation's sense of self. Oral history matters. Let me tell you a little bit about us, meaning the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Congress established CPB about 45 years ago to support a system of local public media stations dedicated to the principles of diversity, excellence in programming, responsiveness in and to local communities, and service to all Americans. For generations, public media has provided invaluable content that helps Americans grow, learn, and achieve their dreams. We've helped our citizens to enrich and improve their lives, we've strengthened our communities, and we've created content services that help our children learn. Our work contributes to an informed society without which democracy cannot succeed. Public media is a service to this country worth supporting and strengthening so that we, meaning public media, can be in service to future generations of Americans. We are central to the national conversation. On behalf of the CPB Board of Directors, all of whom are here today, I want to thank the White House and the Department of Education for your recognition of this service and your continued support for public media and the contribution we believe we make to the nation. I also want to thank the White House and DOE for hosting us today in this public recognition of StoryCorps and StoryCorps' National Teachers Institute. One of the things that we're doing with StoryCorps, and you'll hear a little bit more about this later, is our new American Graduate Project, which is an initiative to counter the social disaster of student dropout. CPB has been a principal supporter of StoryCorps for many years, and we're proud to stand here today together with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Dave Isay in support of this important work. Thank you, and let me introduce to you now Pat Harrison, CEO and President of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Good afternoon. I do have prepared remarks, but I just want to say to David, every time I make up my mind, I'm not going to cry. I don't care what he's going to do, and you do it every single time. And the reason is because these stories are authentic, and they move us, and we connect to them. And right now, I'm just thinking back to Brooklyn, New York, the teachers, mostly the ones I had yelled at me a lot, but for very good reason, and I would go home and complain, and my parents would basically say, what did you do wrong? So it was a very, very different time. I not only want to thank Dave and Chairman Raymer, the CPB board, and our vice chairman, Senator Pryor, And you'll hear from the wonderful Secretary Duncan Bibb Hubbard of the Gates Foundation, who's joining us in this work, because we can't do it alone. And I'm really pleased to be here with so many dedicated educators and teachers. We are very proud, public media, of our partnership with teachers, working to provide innovative ways within a safe place so children can learn, whether it's through our summer reading camps for preschoolers or our web-based history games for middle schoolers, all informed through our online training courses for teachers. The challenge of ensuring that every child is ready to learn and succeed in school falls on all of us as a society, not just on teachers. And by now we know the dismal statistics. 1.3 million students dropping out of school annually, making a life decision that impacts not only them and their families, but our entire country. It also represents, to put in human terms, lost artists and composers and writers, people who would have an opportunity to be influential with their children. And it is more than just a statistic, it's a tragedy. The reason it's a tragedy is most of the kids who drop out, when they start in school, they're so excited, they're so hopeful. They see themselves graduating with their peers, and then they start struggling to achieve that. Teachers cannot reverse this trend alone. We need to support your efforts, and we have, through StoryCorps, I think we're going to see a focus on success stories and to really increase these success stories. And that is what the American Graduate Initiative, American Graduate Let's Make It Happen, is all about. We, public media, television and radio stations, are going to be in 20 hub markets where the dropout challenge is most acute. We will be working on air, online, and in the community in partnership with America's Promise Alliance, the Gates Foundation, business and community leaders, parents and students and teachers to raise awareness and help keep young people on that path to a high school diploma. And together with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, CPB has given a $1 million grant to StoryCorps to launch the National Teachers Initiative as part of American Graduate. Through StoryCorps, we're just going to hear the stories that we should be hearing all along, that affirm teachers, that let us know the challenge that they have is very, very different when some of us were going to school, whether in Brooklyn, New York, or Medford, or any other place in the United States today. And we're going to hear from some heroes. And we need heroes now. And we have them if we'll only recognize them. And these heroes are America's teachers. These stories will shine a light not only on the challenges, but successes as well. They're going to be very inspirational. And at the end of the day, I think we can all agree that we all have a stake in ensuring that every child has an opportunity, a real opportunity, to become an American graduate. Together, we're going to make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks, Bruce. And I want to building on what Bruce said and Pat said, a quick plug for public broadcasting, because as with teachers, public broadcasting is under attack. And public broadcasting, I believe, is a cornerstone of a civil and democratic society, along with public schools and national parks and libraries. And I hope that everyone will continue to support public broadcasting in the months and years to come. It's a national treasure. It's my great pleasure to introduce Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers. She's a legendary union leader who's proven to be a powerful and passionate advocate for both teachers and students. The daughter of a public school teacher, we're so grateful for joining us today.
So I have about 1.5 million teachers that I need to talk about. But I want to thank StoryCorps, and I want to thank public broadcasting. I agree with you, it is a public treasure of our democracy. And I want to thank all of you for being here and for us having the National Teachers Initiative. Really, thank you very, 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 very much, all of you. So this is a fantastic opportunity to hear from teachers who are the people closest to kids. Their stories will be, as Pat and Bruce and Dave and Steve and Mr. Sid has said, the stories will be a window to the world on today's public education process, what's working, what's not, and what we can do to better prepare our children for the 21st century. But it always comes back to the connection between teacher and student. Doesn't matter. It always comes back to that. Mr. Sid talked about it as a major moment. I always talk about it as the aha moment. I always see it when you see your kids and their eyes wide open or open wide, and you see that invisible light bulb shine up. I wish there was actually someone, because this is, as Steve said, this is kind of hard for me. Would you have to think about one person you're going to talk about. So I wish there was somebody else who could be with me today, a teacher who really inspired me to go into teaching, much to my shock. And that teacher was my mother, Edie Weingarten, who passed away 2 years ago after fighting cancer for 18 years. My mother was a public school teacher in Nyack, New York, also an AFT member for 30 years. She loved teaching. And she would have loved this program, the National Teacher Initiative. And she would have loved it because she was a teacher who changed the lives of so many kids. Most importantly, she would have loved it because it honored kids and teachers. She took umbrage at anyone who would say that they were just a teacher. I would see her back come up and say, "Don't say that." She had many chances to go into many other fields, but she loved teaching second and third grade and wouldn't have done anything else. And one day in her hospital room, she chided me for even suggesting that she could have done something else. Growing up, my sister and I resolved to never become teachers because we thought the job was just too demanding for so little reward. My mother always seemed to work. In fact, except when company came, the table in our all-purpose dining room, living room, whatever, was always festooned with papers, cluttered with papers, waiting to be read and graded. It seemed she spent every night till late into the night grading papers, preparing for the next morning, and every Sunday, I thought Sunday was the day you actually prepared for Monday. But there was a key event that changed my life about teaching. Not long, and I've told this piece of the story, not long after my father was laid off as an engineer, my mother went on strike. Not simply for economic concerns, as important as they were, but for concerns of quality, professionalism, and dignity. Now, my mother was never a union activist, nor were the 297 other teachers that went on strike in Nyack, New York. They went on strike for 7 weeks. What I saw was my mother, who was so dedicated to her profession, she was willing to back those words with action, even if it meant, and it did, material sacrifice for our family. They lost 2 days' pay for every day they worked, they didn't work, but I never will forget how as soon as that strike was over, they went back to work to make sure that kids were treated decently. Honor for themselves and honor for kids. It was only after I started teaching myself and also working every single Sunday into the wee hours preparing for the week ahead, I realized that my mother's work was not so much a workaholic tendency, but the desire for all students to succeed. This is what drives all of us as school teachers, to dig down so deep and make a difference every day and wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning thinking, what is it that we can do in terms of our lesson to make it better, better, better? How can we reach every single child we need to reach? Both my sister and I now teach. I taught for years at Clara Barton High School in Brooklyn and now do what I do, and my sister, who became an intensive care pediatrician, now teaches other medical students. What I also learned about my mother was how important it was for teachers to have a voice in what they do in order to ensure that kids have the best that they can get. And over the past couple of weeks, as I've been visiting with teachers and students across the country, as we've seen what's going on across the country, 300,000 fewer teachers, lots of budget cuts all over, this is the common bond and thread I see all over the country: the dedication and commitments teachers have to their students and their fierceness to make students, to ensure students have a great opportunity regardless of what is thrown at them. You see this with teachers in the face of budget cuts to vital programs. You see this with the layoffs that have happened. You see this with them fighting to keep programs in schools. You hear stories from teachers all the time about what makes them live for another day. And many of those times, it is just like I'm telling you about my mom, just like Steve told you about his teachers, just like we saw before. The thing that makes all of us not just cry, but live, is the fact that we know that we help another generation. The thing that always sticks with me is when my kids come back and say, "Miss Weingarten, you done me good. You helped me make something of my life." So thank you, Dave, Public Broadcasting. Thank you for letting us tell our stories about how we go into this profession to make a difference in the lives of kids, and how every single day we want to see an America become a different America because of the work that gets done in education, the connection between teacher and student, that aha moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. And I hope that that you'll come and remember your mom at StoryCorps at some point. I'm going to play another never-before-heard National Teachers Initiative clip. This one is from Chicago. It's a man named Ayodeji Oganini. And in 2005, his dad, a Nigerian immigrant, was driving a cab in Chicago and was robbed and murdered on the job. At the time, Ayodeji was studying medicine and tutoring in an after-school program. And this is an excerpt from his story.
11 o'clock that night, the knock came. They told us that my father was found in the alley and he was murdered. They found the murders and they were 18, 19, and 22. At the time, I was tutoring at an after-school program for some extra money, and these kids came from the same conditions that the people that murdered my father came from. And a student came to the after-school program. We were doing something where everyone had to read out loud. He stormed out the classroom. And I went out to talk to him, and he just broke down. He said, "It's hard for me to read." There are many people that cry because they're hurt, they've been neglected, but to cry because you couldn't read, that spoke volumes to me. So we got him in some other programs, and he started to read, and it just was like this gift that money can't buy for him. And by me giving that to him, I totally forgot about the pain of the murder, and I wanted to continue to give more of what I had to heal. It just dawned on me, everybody at some point sits in a classroom. That could be the foundation for everything else. So that's when I said that whatever happened to my father is not gonna be in vain. I'm gonna follow my heart and become a teacher.
Adeji here with us today. He's a language arts teacher at Thornwood High School in South Holland, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Will you come up for a moment?
I would like to extend my gratitude to you and StoryCorps. And I never heard of StoryCorps before the interview, actually. And I was, some reason, I come from the generation that anything that says public is boring, like public library, public television. So but after StoryCorps, I started to listen to a lot of public radio, and it is amazing. It is so much knowledge that could be gained in just the arbitrary conversations that they have on public radio. So thank you very much, appreciate it. Being a teacher is very, very hard. I never knew it was until I became one, obviously. And I guess I'm one of the newbies. I've only been teaching for 2 years. And a lot of people know of my background and that I do have the capacity to be a neurosurgeon or a rocket scientist or anything, and then when they find out that I'm a teacher, it's like, oh. And I don't use that I use that sort of as a motivator, because I know that whatever jobs that they're going to have in their future lives, they couldn't have it without me. They couldn't have it without teaching. And I think that it's truly one of the greatest occupations, because every person, every murderer, every president, every surgeon, every terrorist has an interaction with the teacher. And that teacher has the pressure on them to sort of sow a seed that can create so many other seeds and so many other generations, and affect so many different people from that one seed. There's a saying that says that you can count the seeds in one apple, but you can never count the seeds that one seed can produce. So every single time that I'm in a classroom, I try to make sure that I instill something. So I want to take this opportunity and do what I do best and teach you all something that I live by every day. And it is the saying that goes, no force of nature can break your will to self-motivate. If you could repeat that for me. No force of nature can break your will to self-motivate. And that basically means that no matter what happens to you, no matter what, there's absolutely nothing at all, absolutely nothing that can stop you from telling yourself that you can do it, you can become something, you can be somebody. A voice is the most powerful thing in the world, especially yours.
It's a great honor to have with us. Thank you so much. It's a great honor to have with us here today the United States Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan. Before becoming Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan was CEO of the Chicago Public Schools for 7.5 years. Last weekend, he interviewed his mom, Sue Duncan, for StoryCorps. 50 years ago, Sue founded an after-school tutoring program on the south side of Chicago, the Sue Duncan Children's Center, which has served 5,000 kids and counting. And I have to say, I have a personal connection to your mom. The project that led to, in so many ways, led to StoryCorps was a documentary I did for NPR 20 years ago called Ghetto Life 101, where I gave two kids in Chicago tape recorders and asked them to record a week in their lives. And the first person that I reached out to was a woman named Sue Duncan. And I didn't realize until 2 weeks ago when I heard about this interview that this was your mom. And I asked her help finding young people who could help record this diary of their lives. And I keep the message that the conversation I had, the notes from the conversation I had on my desk still 20 years later. And this is what Sue said to me. She said, "The courage these kids show is incredible. These children are invisible. They're black and poor and walk like they're invisible. These kids are bright, they're amazing, they're resilient. Nobody's listened to these children for years. Who wants to listen to a poor child? These kids want to talk. They want their stories to be heard. I have 28 kids and 28 hands shot up when I told them about this project. They all immediately started writing their autobiographies for you. They all want to be heard. Sue Duncan. Sue's quote is as powerful and true today as it was 20 years ago. I want to play just a brief excerpt from the interview, and I'll invite up Secretary Duncan.
One of my biggest battles I feel I'm fighting every day is lots of folks sort of believe that poverty is destiny, but you always had this incredible hope. I guess that's why I'm always trying to challenge people and challenge schools to do better, because the outcomes for so many of the kids who came to your program, where they ended up in life, was just so radically, radically different from where they started, and just showed me what was possible.
I tried to be consistent and kind and trustworthy and just have infinite hope for the children. Just do the best you can every moment. We only have one moment at a time.
I'll try and get up here and not start bawling like a baby. Give me a moment to collect my thoughts. Let's give a huge round of applause to Dave for his extraordinary leadership. I think we're all here because we see the extraordinary power in listening. And in places like Washington around the country, everybody wants to talk. Everybody wants to tell you what their ideas are and how convinced they are that their vision is the only way. And I think none of us spend enough time actually listening and engaging with folks. And Dave, so I want to thank you for creating a national conversation, a national platform in which we can not just express our strongly held beliefs, we can sort of step back and listen to others. I think that's extraordinarily powerful. We've heard a lot from folks today of how much we need to elevate the profession and strengthen the profession and support teachers who are doing the hard work every single day. And somehow education has been beaten down in this country. Teachers have been beaten down, and we have to find a way to take it to the next level. And I can't think of a more powerful way of doing that than over this next year with this initiative to hear teacher stories and to have people across the country listen to the extraordinary hard work, the extraordinary demanding work, the sometimes frustrating work, but the amazing impact they're having on young people every single day. And I really do think that this initiative can help to change the national conversation and help us take the teaching profession to a very different level. I see two challenges. We have to help the current teachers, support them, and it's, you know, good economic times, bad economic times, it doesn't matter. We have to help them do the critically important work they're doing each day. And we also have to recruit the next generation of teachers to come in. We're going to lose about 1 million teachers, the baby boomer generation coming out. I was just sitting here thinking, and Randy, you and I can think about this, and Steve and Dave, of how we get, as these stories are collected, these hundreds and hundreds of stories, how do we make sure that high school students and college students hear these stories? Because I can't think of a bigger motivating factor to have them come in and enter the profession than just to hear the simple and the profound words of real teachers and the impact they're having, and to hear the gratitude of their students and how much of a difference they made. So how we not just capture these stories but share them publicly is something I want to challenge all of us and CPB and others to think about, because I can't think of a better recruiting tool, a better marketing tool for the profession than this initiative. We're all here because we had those great teachers. I went to fantastic schools all my life, very, very lucky. I always talk about my high school English teacher who, back then we didn't have computers, everything was in blue ink, and my papers would come back with a lot more red ink than blue ink, and she was pushing me very hard to express myself more clearly, to find my voice both writing and in class, and Mr. Campbell was just one of those amazing, amazing teachers. I'm also lucky, like Randy, to have a very strong mother and to be raised along with my brother and sister as a part of her after-school program, literally from the time we were born, 2 weeks old on. And my sister and brother and I have all tried to follow in her footsteps in various ways. It was just an amazing formative experience. But it is my motivation every single day, because I know when we do our job as adults, the extraordinary potential that young people have. And it's, we have to find whatever those challenges are, whatever they're dealing with, if we work hard enough, if we stay with it long enough, we can find that spark in young people that they may not know they have themselves and help them pull that out. And my mother and others in the program were just absolutely masterful at that. And it's a lifelong lesson that continues to motivate me every single day. So Dave, thank you so much for your leadership. This is a remarkable project, at the right time. Whatever we can do to be a good partner, we want to do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Secretary Duncan. I have a lot more stories to play, but I'm not going to play them because I could keep you here all day, and I'm not going to do that. I do want to recognize a couple of other special guests we have here today, and if folks want to talk to them after this event, please do. We have Noe Rueda and Alex Fernandez, whose story was broadcast on NPR a few months back. Alex was Noe's economic teacher in Chicago, and Mr. Fernandez brought Noe to StoryCorps to honor him. Noe is now studying marketing at Marion University in Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today. Would you stand? We have Robin Warren and Jason Weems, whose story you might have heard on NPR a few weeks back. Robin teaches first grade at Leith Walk Elementary School in Baltimore. Warren is a teacher's aide in the classroom, and Jason is a teacher in her classroom, and Jason is a teacher's aide in a kindergarten class in the same school. If you'll stand. And Lisa Jones, who teaches fourth grade at Watkins Elementary right here in D.C., who also recently participated in StoryCorps. Thank you for coming. I also want to recognize students from Chavez Prep who have been so fantastic here today. Can you just raise your hands? StoryCorps is starting a program that I'm incredibly excited about with support from CPB under the same American Graduate Program called StoryCorps U, which is a year-long standards-based curriculum that uses StoryCorps stories and StoryCorps interview methods to engage young people and make young people want to come to school and teachers want to teach. And we piloted in Brooklyn last year. Thanks to CPB, we're launching in Washington and St. Louis, and we're doing more classes in Brooklyn. And the folks from Chavez Prep are about to start or have just started going through StoryCorps U, and we're thrilled to have you here. Thank you. So thank you all for coming today. Spread the word about the National Teachers Initiative. Take a moment or an hour to honor a teacher who meant something to you, and I promise you, you will never regret it. I really appreciate everyone coming today and to a great year ahead. And thank you to the StoryCorps team who did such a magnificent job and does every day. Thank you all.